Hello, and welcome to The Naked Artist, a podcast about exposing yourself, creatively speaking. All right. So thank you for joining us today for The Naked Artist, a podcast about exposing ourselves, creatively speaking. Today, we're going to talk about the mountains we climb that we built ourselves from the dirt of the holes we dug. I am Tammy Ressler, and this is
Jessica Prill.
And
Meredith Fierke.
And I'm going to start us off today talking a little bit about the mountains we climb. And I actually, when I started thinking about this topic, I started immediately thinking about the first time I started digging holes, artistically speaking. Again, we're just big on the metaphors.
Were you naked while you were digging these holes?
I can neither confirm nor deny that supposition. But when I first started doing this whole art gig, I had been taking art in college and, you know, pottery and whatever since high school. And I got this, I was in this festival called Cattail Days in Richfield where I lived. And I had been doing pottery for maybe 9 years or 8 years or something like that. But really just, you know how you do when you start off in your artistic journey. You're just kind of
giving it to friends and family.
Basically, trying to figure out what you're doing.
The ashtray to the pot to the mug to the
yes.
Be honest, you made a bong.
Yes, I did not make a bong. Oh. I actually have never made a bong.
Oh,
ever. Sorry.
Bucket list.
But so. I started like, oh my God, I have to make this whole body of work because now I have to sell it. And I had to like get the tables and get the tents and get the supplies. I had to all of a sudden make a body of work that was enough stuff to fill these tables and shelves that I also had to buy. So I'm digging and I'm digging and I'm buying the clay mm-hmm. and I'm buying the tables and I'm buying the tents and I'm paying the fees to get into the festival and all this kind of stuff. And then now you're in this hole, and now you have to start climbing out of the hole because you have dug it all yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you created this.
5 feet down, 10 feet up.
Yes, yep. Exactly. So then you start, and you're doing the show, and you know, people are, for the most part, really nice, even though when I look back at the stuff I was selling, you know, it was a little.
Well.
You never look at your first work and you never read the comments.
Right. Yeah. And you get people coming over there and they flick. Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, I don't know. This I've been doing ceramics for 30 years and I can tell.
And I'm like, oh, please don't. Don't tell me anything because I am not in a position in my life to read. You know, you're literally like, talk about being the naked artist.
You're as raw as it gets. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're out there. You are basically mm-hmm. metaphorically naked for the first time. And the last thing you want is somebody coming over to you and telling you how saggy you look.
Mm-hmm. Tammy, I'm feeling some specific instances here. And
there. Yeah, I was quite young, actually. I was quite taut.
Perky. Perky.
Metaphorically speaking. Yeah. But... Yeah. So anyway, so when I started thinking about the holes that we dig as an artist and the mountains that we climb, that was the first thing. That was like my first experience with figuring out that this was how it was mm-hmm. and this was how it was going to be.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
Well, that reminds me of like learning as you go and learning by doing and all the kind of mistakes that you make along the way. You know, that costs money, costs time, but the experience is what you're going for. And, you know, in time, I'm sure you have your booth set up and it's kind of like, you know, what A, B, C, and D is, and it doesn't bother you as much when, you know, little Mary Pottery comes over and tells you, you know, you can say, I've been doing this for 30 years, you know, mm-hmm. or 12 years, sorry. Just kidding. 5 years, you're 23, right? Yeah, I'm like, okay.
So,
but so I think what you're describing to me is just that process of maybe not knowing what you're doing and just jumping in. Mm-hmm. And Jess, I know I've seen you do that.
That's how I live my
100 times. You know,
a day.
Yeah, a day. So, I find that very interesting. And it also reminds me of, you know, when I was back playing shows and, you know, these would be, hauling equipment upstairs, downstairs. We do it all ourselves. You know, we had a big B3 organ that we had to get into, a tiny elevator, and, you know, do these sound checks and do everything. And by the time you get to the show, you're exhausted. You do the show, you do teardown, and you drive home, and it's 3 a.m. and you've made $180 for three people. You know, so it's about the experience. Mm-hmm. It's not about the money at that point. I mean, I wish it could be, but yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out how to make it about the money, but, you know, experience is definitely something I'm gaining.
You're having all the experiences.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. So what's your hole?
My hole? Sorry. Jess! I have, so right now at where I'm at right now in life is I feel like I do have a good amount of experience as far as music and the video work that I've done and, you know, the art part of it. I'm not at a point where, especially because of where the music industry is also, it's really hard to make money. And it almost, you know, since I was little, it's, you know, it's never been accepted as a way to, you know, be financially stable. So you kind of have to work against that at the outset, and I think as being artists and entrepreneurs ourselves, you understand that,
right?
There's kind of a inherent pushback. Part of one of my things that I have to get over is that very thought, like, I can do this, I can, you know, however it works for me, I can make money doing this, I can, you know, I might have to figure it out myself, I might have to do it in a way that isn't typical or something that I think I should be doing or something that I think it should look like. Maybe it looks a little different than that, and I kind of have to have a better understanding of flexibility in that way.
Well, and some of the mountains we climb, we didn't create ourselves, like you said, with the music industry being what it is now. But then you can start digging a hole trying to figure out how to navigate that, right?
Yes.
And like for me, with the jewelry and just the economy, I mean, that's always a mountain you're climbing is, you know, who moved my cheese?
Yeah.
You know, where are all the customers? And not even, I've never really struggled with like, what am I going to make? What am I, you know, inspiration comes and goes. But, you know, like it's never been the struggle of like, oh, I need to figure out what people are buying, because that's not how I operate,
which is great, I think.
Yeah, but how to get the get the product in front of the people,
and
encourage them to give me their money for these little trinkets. But you know, that's a mountain I didn't create. I have plenty that I have created, but you get a whole range.
And I think with you too, especially, you are you have like pieces of art that you can show, you know, in like at these, you know, showcase it and people respond and they buy. And so that's like good affirmation. And, you know, I feel like both of you do it kind of from the heart. It's not with this expectation that someone is going to buy it. You kind of make what you want to make. And then if someone loves it, great.
Have you ever done things like Patreon and stuff like that? Like, I don't even understand how that stuff works. I feel like for music, I hear a lot about people doing stuff like that. Like, oh, if you like my stuff, sign up and sponsor me? Is that kind of what it is?
Yeah, so for that, you have to have self-esteem.
Ah, okay. Well, that explains
what I'm talking about. Yeah, I've thought about things like that, and even back when Kickstarter was a thing, and or it probably still is, but when it was a bigger thing, it was again another hurdle. It was always something that felt to me like, well, I have to produce things that people like, and then if I do produce things that people like and then I promise something else, I have to live up to that promise of something else. So it's always very daunting to me. And I know, like, Jess, you're way better at that stuff than I am, you know, just promising and following through. And
tell that to my customers when they want me to finish their custom orders.
But
yes.
So
I get inspired by somebody being excited. But, like, in the way you work, you're alone. I mean, you're, like, in your box working. You don't get, like, that instant gratification and feedback. And so you do have to kind of, like, trust your world that you're creating,
yeah,
and then be willing to give it to people, which is, yeah, I think where you struggle, yeah, is the give it to people part.
Yeah, and I do, I think it's twofold, because I think being in your own little egg is great, because, you know, you've got all these influences you've had up to this point. You take all of that and you create your own interpretation of whatever it is, be it like the writing or the music or mm-hmm. all that. And it is something of your own, but it is also very insulated. And so it can become like this little echo chamber if mm-hmm. you don't share it. And that's really right. important. It's a really important part of the whole cycle.
Right.
So, yeah, for me, it's the sharing. I am trying to get over that. That's why I'm on the show.
Yeah,
I'm trying to share with uh-huh. everyone and just say, like, I'm here and, you know, take it or leave it, but this is what I do.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So I know that you're working on your website and you've uh-huh. got a lot of stuff out there. Not a lot. I mean, you have some stuff out there. It's getting more and more all the time. And I always think that's interesting because I am also, like, when I create and when I make stuff, I'm at my house, I'm in my studio, I'm whatever, I'm by myself. And I don't update my website, like, ever.
Ever.
Because I'm a terrible person.
I hate,
basically.
See, I can do computers. That for both of you.
Yeah.
I can't you do have it done it for me. You are my website person, literally. Which needs updating.
Right? Yeah, people are like, I went to your website. There wasn't any way to buy anything. I'm like, yeah, that's because I don't really sell stuff through my website. Because that's
a whole other mountain. I mean, trying to have inventory, like, because I've got a physical brick and mortar location. And to have inventory in there and then inventory online. And if it sells online, I have to hunt it down. And then I have to, you know, it's just, it's too many moving parts. And, yeah, and you have to be too many hats.
Yeah.
And so I don't sell online either. And yeah, I kind of like that because I think it makes me feel a little more elusive and exclusive. Mm-hmm. And if you can find me, you can have some. Mm-hmm. I actually am very inspired by a friend of mine who owns a bead shop in Taylor's Falls. He does not have a telephone number for his business. Mm-hmm. You cannot call him or contact him.
That's,
and
wow.
I'm like, you know, I just like stare at him like he's a god.
Yeah.
So, but the philosophy there being like, if you want me, come and see me.
Yeah.
You can
find
out online where he is. And he's like, I don't have time to answer the phone all day.
Yeah.
And it's 90% of the time, or 99% of the time, it's not a real person on the other end of the line. Yeah. So you're just chasing this ringing phone, and
yeah,
God love him for that.
Yeah, that
so,
is actually amazing.
You know, it's like you don't have to follow this specific path.
Yeah,
and he's a very successful business person.
Yes, and it is that thing where you kind of choose what works for you. Mm-hmm. And so for you, it works just to have your own space and to have people come to you, mm-hmm. and to do all the internet stuff is just too much. You're one mm-hmm. person. Mm-hmm. I love that. And so, yeah.
This is why every time I call Jess, she answers the phone by saying, what?
I only do that when it's you on the phone.
Yeah. Though. I was like, wow. She answers the phone, I love you. Just
oh,
kidding.
Wow.
Okay, now you're just trying to start something.
Stirring the pot.
Yeah.
That's because every time you call me, it requires work on my part and vice versa.
Yes, valid.
Yeah.
If it isn't work, I just come over.
Yeah, it's true. Or if I don't answer, you just come over.
That's
so
true. Or sometimes you just come over anyways, whether or not I really want to.
And I love every minute of it.
It's like this magnetic force that
live
just
for
pulls
it.
Me over to the gallery.
Live for it.
Yeah. So, what are some of the things that you guys have been, you know, I don't want to say struggling with, but like coming up to like this week? I mean, I know that we all three together have been working on the Straight River Arts .org website and calling for artists and stuff like that. There's been some issues there that we've had to resolve. Like what types of things have you been working on this week?
Well, I would say, like, if we're talking about mountains and holes, I just got a visual that is very inappropriate.
It's never going to go away. It's just going to keep recurring.
It's just going to keep going. But, you know, I say yes to everything.
Yeah.
You know? And so today I was building a hot air balloon for a play set, a set for a play, a prop. probably around the world in 80 days that I said I could do. I have never built a hot air balloon. I don't have any background in sculpture. I have no idea why I got excited about building this hot air balloon. But back when the director told me he was going to do this play, I'm like, I want to build the hot air balloon.
Yeah.
Well, he remembered that.
Yeah.
So yesterday he's like, I'm ready. I was like, for what? you know, and so it was a great way to not do my taxes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But I got really excited about that. So, you know, there's that. But yeah, I think overcommitting to things and genuinely so, I don't feel like I have to do these things. It's just like, yeah, that wouldn't be great.
You get excited about them in the moment.
And it's a different kind of art. It's different use of your brain.
Yep. This is silly. I just heard someone talking about creatives, they have to push themselves in different directions. You can't just do the same thing over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that reminds, it just made you excited.
It did.
So lots of things make you excited.
But lots of things do. Yeah. And so then, you know, I've got a grant project I'm going to have to be committed to this year. I've got, you know, just the gallery, the coffee shop, Tammy, the show.
taking care of Tammy's needs.
That's a full-time job.
It is. And then just the minutia of all the little things you need to do to make those big things happen. So, you know, fundraising for the Straight River and, you know, taxes. Mm-hmm. And figuring out new artists for the gallery, and you know, each one of those things is just this monumental task, and pretty soon you're climbing Mount Everest and you're like, why did I think this was a good idea? I also have a family and a child. You know, be real, people. And I don't know, so if you just see me babbling in a corner someday, just hug me, give me a glass of water, tell me it's gonna be okay.
Wipe the spittle from around your lips. Yes.
But again, that comes back to doing things in your own way.
Right.
Like, and figuring out what works best for you.
Yeah.
And I want to say there is, like, more than one way to climb Mount Everest. Maybe that's not true.
I don't know, but people frozen. Yeah. Probably
want to live or
not. You know, that's one of the, you know, things that stops me also is that being like, there is a specific way I have to do that. You know, in my early 20s.
You can get stuck.
You know, that's what I thought. It's like, this is what this is supposed to look like. And so I did those things and wondered why I was so
well, and here's
unhappy.
The thing, like, and we kind of talked about this before. If everybody is looking left, go right. You know, don't do what everybody else is doing because you're for sure going to get just lost in the crowd and you're just going to be another, you know, drop of water in the ocean. So finding a different way to do things sets you apart. And that's so, so important. I think that's the number one most important thing that you can do, because your art can be amazing. And if you're using the same venues and expecting to get discovered, you know, you're just lost in a sea of artists. So if you can find a way to get seen in a different way, that's key.
Well, and you saying the thing about the balloon kind of making you excited, I think about how sometimes you just come across something else and you get that little fizz in your brain. That's like, oh, I want to do that thing. And it's not what you do, and it's not anything you've ever done, but it's something that gets you excited. And sometimes it just leads to the next thing that you do, where this tactile experience that you're having with this, making this balloon, all of a sudden you're like, oh, you know, it'd be cool if I did this thing over here. And so that's how you evolve as an artist.
Right.
And that is how, speaking of the mountains and whole situation, that's how you keep climbing the mountain, is because if you're not evolving and you're not learning and you're not excited about it, it's not going to be able to climb out of the hole.
It's a stalemate. Right.
Yeah. And people who are like always trying to, you know, what can I make that everybody's making that sells a lot? What does everybody sell a lot of? And you're like, dude, don't, like, do that.
Yeah. How do I do the thing that everybody expects me to do?
Yeah. And it's like, you're not, because people, honestly, it's weird. Like, if you make something that you're excited about, other people will be excited about it. They don't even have to know you or see you. They see that thing, and it's this, like, esoteric kind of experience.
It sparkles some.
Yeah. They're like, oh, there's something really interesting about this or unique or weird or
Yes.
Well, and that's kind of part of the naked artist thing. Like, you put a little bit of yourself
of course.
Your piece. And if you're authentic in that process and you put a genuine piece of yourself into your work, you're asking people to accept you, but they also will be drawn to it because it's got that
kind of energy.
Whatever to or, it. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it feels woo-woo to say that, but like...
To call it Jessica Sequa.
Just kidding. T-shirt. But like, here's a really interesting thing. Like in retail, if there's something in my shop that isn't selling, all I have to do is touch it.
Yeah.
And I'm not kidding. I have done this 100 times. You go over to it, you dust it off, put it, you just give it, and the like next customer walks in the door, oh, this is really cool, and they buy it. I don't understand it. I don't know what that is. But like, you put stuff like that into your art, right?
Yes,
like you give that special little bit of love in your pieces. Mm-hmm. And that in itself is a mountain to climb because it's a finite amount of energy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and one of my challenges right now, which you guys know about, is, you know, I have all these issues with my hands right now.
Yeah.
And so I've got like neuropathy in my hands and they're being turd balls and stuff like that. So I've been doing like making print blocks because I can carve those for a shorter period of time and then I can have this thing that then I can reuse and reuse. And I'm getting really into the carving of the print blocks. And then I'm pressing it into the clay and I'm not quite as excited about it as I am about actually making the prints.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, so I'm, some of the things that I'm doing as far as the pottery now that I'm doing are really exciting, but I feel myself wanting to go back and carve more.
See? That's really cool.
Which I can't really do because my hands don't want me to do it. But then I can do the inking and the print blocks and I'm like, oh, that's really fun. And now I got it. And now I'm digging because now I have to buy all the stuff.
Right. Because you're doing a new thing now.
Yes. Yeah. And now I'm like, well, I'm making all these small print blocks. I should get bigger print blocks. And then I need bigger tools. And then I should get a bigger brayer. And I need another banner.
And then you're a whole completely new artist.
Yeah. But it's fun because that's like how, again, like with evolution of being an artist and making stuff is like you have to feel the passion and you have to be able to be excited.
And follow it. Yes. You got to follow it or you're just going to fall off a cliff. Like you're just not going to be successful.
Because otherwise I get very focused on what I can't do.
Yeah. Right.
And if I'm focused on what I can't do, then I get depressed and then I don't want to do anything. And then I just go watch TV and there's nothing on, by the
and
way.
And anything you do see is horrific.
Well,
and we won't go there.
I don't mind the murder shows and stuff.
Oh, well,
like
there's that.
I do like that stuff, but you know, you can't go wrong with a little murder in the evening.
A little true crime,
murder
to
light,
keep things interesting.
Yes, exactly. A little murder light. Yes, exactly. But yeah, in general, I think that's one of the things that is when I have the shows that are coming up. So, like, we're doing this thing with the Rice County Gardeners Extension thing in March. And the Straight River Art Festival, which is in May, and some of these other things that kind of loom and they help me to have a goal. Like, I'm like, I need to make things for this stuff, which is funny because I don't make stuff because I think it's going to sell, but I will commit myself to something where I sell work to get me making.
Oh,
because
yes,
the making makes me feel good.
Yep.
And so it's like I'm doing something that makes me do something that makes me feel better, which is kind of weird. Like I need some kind of like a carrot and a stick situation.
Yes, or also balance too. Just like all you can't always be in the creative brain.
Right.
And if you have that other thing that kind of makes you remember why you want to be in the creative brain or just take a break from that.
Yeah. Because what's the other option?
Oh,
well,
there is
death
none.
Death and taxes.
Yeah.
Death and taxes.
Well, it's funny because I was talking to Marv today about, I said, do you ever just feel like you don't want to do it? Like you don't want to be creative and you just want to, and he's like, yeah. And I said, so what do you do? And he goes, so I do something else. Mm-hmm. I do something different.
So basically, simply put.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
do something else.
Yeah, he does caricature.
Don't torture
carving.
Yourself.
Yep. Right, but he does like stylized carving, or he'll do building something or whatever.
But he's still being creative.
Yeah,
he's still being creative, and he's still. Or I mean, if he really doesn't feel like it, he he reads or he does crossword puzzles or something like that. I don't have the patience for that, and I don't have the focus. I listen to audiobooks mostly now because apparently I'm being overtaken by ADD, which I'm self-diagnosing myself now because it's becoming glaringly apparent that my brain does not function like I thought that it did.
It's January.
It is January.
So I just want to remind you of that fact.
Yes, it is January.
I mean, it's almost February.
When the sap starts rising, you will get creative, as we do, and start 10 new things.
But this does, okay, so this reminds me of a book that I read in college, and I took a class called Creativity. It was the first class I took back in school, and it was a book by a man named Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi, and he's from Estonia. It's not that book. And he talks extensively about the processes of creativity. And one of the sections is about incubation. And the next part is about flow. So it's kind of like the incubation period is, you know, when you're thinking about stuff or when you're doing that crossword puzzle or when you're not thinking about the work, but you've had thoughts prior to it and your brain is working on it. And then you kind of get to that moment where something clicks and you start, and that's the flow part. And so I think it's important to note that there are different phases that we go through, and you're not going to want to do jewelry 100% of the time, you know. And that's okay. And don't feel guilty or bad. And I think, too, there are, like, bigger cycles. Like, they can go months. You know, they can be big month-long cycles where you're not doing any. It could be January. And you could just, you know, not feel like being that person. But just having faith that it will come back.
I feel like mine would equate more to, like, a volcano.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah.
There's rumblings below. But everything looks still, and then suddenly lava spews forward. It's like a very chaotic.
And like output. Many times a day.
And I just, I will slam out like some crazy volume of work, and then I go dormant again.
Exactly.
You don't really have the luxury of going dormant.
Well, I can't go totally dormant, but the there's the bread and butter, and then there's the creative, right? So like the I need to make these $30 pairs of earrings. I got to get about 300 of them made to survive for the next 3 months or whatever. Like I go that route, but then, you know, like that, ooh, I'm going to make this crazy butterfly pendant that's 6x8 completely woven with sapphires and so and drop everything just for that one piece that will never sell, but
it will sell.
It will sell. Actually, yesterday I sold that piece that was, did you see the triangular big triangular piece inspired by Carla Brown? Lady came in yesterday and I was like, I will give you a deal on that, and like it was still expensive and she went for it. I couldn't believe it.
That
like,
was bless such
you
a
you must
piece.
Have known I have a tax bill coming out of my account
you
today.
Must have touched it beforehand.
I did, actually. Actually, what was funny is I thought about it yesterday before it sold. I was like, I wonder if anyone will ever buy that piece. And like literally that day, that's somebody amazing. Comes in and buys
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite pieces. If I didn't lose every piece of jewelry that I ever acquired, I would buy something nice for myself.
Aww. Oh, Tammy.
Well, I think I take stuff off, like jewelry.
Your house is like a curiosity cabinet. Like,
it is. In a good
full.
Way.
Yes, yeah. It is full. So I go in there and I'm like, ooh, I wonder when, like, if I can get here first when she dies.
Like, there's so much cool stuff in here.
But
she wants to be first on the scene. I would just like everybody to make note of this. Jessica would like to be first to, she's the last person who has seen with me.
That's
not and the person true. Who discovered my
I
body.
I don't want to discover your body.
And you didn't call it in for a suspicious amount of time.
Right, that's a different podcast, okay?
People are like, her house used to look like a curiosity cabinet, but when Jessica called us, it's very naked in here.
Wow, I suck.
No, I do tend to take things off, like jewelry and stuff like that. I get like my, you know, I'm always, my fingers are, I'm always into stuff. I'm always doing things. And so I take my rings off and I don't know where they go. And then the necklace, I start feeling like I'm being strangled. So then I take it off wherever I am, and my earrings start, my ears start itching. And pretty soon I don't know where all my jewelry went.
Yeah.
I find it usually, I do find it eventually.
Yeah.
Eventually.
It's like a treasure
sometimes.
Hunt.
Not always. I don't always find it. But I think the other thing that we were going to talk about is what is our hustle? What's our next thing?
Oh, what's our next thing?
So Meredith, when you're looking at like the next month, what's your goal? Do you have a goal?
Yeah, I do. I have too many, but the one is I want to get some video up on my website that I created, because right now it has imagery on there. And I want to get some words on there.
What is your website?
It's withoutapilot.com. And that's in reference to one of the songs that I've written. And it also, generally speaking, how I feel in life. It's just kind of going for it. So I want to get some videos. And then I have I've got two finished that I did probably about 10 years ago. Jessica's in one of them.
I am.
So I want to get those up. And then I have a third one called Alice in the Real, which is another song from my latest work that I am finishing. So I'm finishing Alice in the Real, and I'd like to do that and get it up in the next month.
Well, that'd be great.
Yeah, I think so.
How about you, Jess?
Oh, man.
Do you have anything specific that you're like, really want to do? Don't know if you're going to get to it, but do you have anything specific that you really want to do?
Well, yes, and I got the grant for it, and I talked about this last time, and this is going to be all consuming. And so the grant is to learn casting, and so I'm starting to kind of study ancient jewelry, and so kind of coming up with what my body of work would be if I can figure this casting thing out. Now, I haven't received my grant yet, so I haven't been able to dig the hole too deep. But, so just kind of deciding, you know, how I could put my voice into, like, an ancient process of making jewelry, which I'm really excited
That's
about.
Awesome.
And then creating some kind of gallery show around it, or an event that people can come to and unveil. Probably gonna ask my friend Meredith to play music there.
we'll pencil it in.
That was one of my favorite things I ever did, though, was the collaborative work with you.
Me too. And I'm still, that is another thing I want for the website too, is for us to continue that. Jess and I, This was 10 years ago.
10 years ago.
I know. Almost exactly. So 10 years ago, Jess and I did a collaboration where she took my music and made these incredible, I'd call them art pieces. Some of them, they're jewelry essentially, but, and, you know, just inspired by the lyrics and inspired by the music. And then we had a big show down in Faribault at the
Paradise.
At the Paradise Center for the Arts. And my band played, and she had her stuff on display.
My gallery opening.
Yep. So we should do more of that.
We should. And now we got to somehow figure out how to get Tammy involved.
Yep.
Collaboration is fun.
Collaboration is great.
It just, it's like you get to tap into somebody else's brain for a while. And then by draining someone else's brain, you get somehow more energy.
Yeah, totally.
Not just you, but like everybody in the collaboration, I think, has more fun. So
absolutely.
I think definitely collaborations are the way to go.
Well, and your bodies that you make, I feel like, I don't know if you can make those now anymore with your hand thing, but
I feel like, you know, actually that's the one thing that I do feel like I can do, because a lot of the big bodies especially are a lot of like stamping and you can kind of cover them and keep them sprayed and stuff like that. So actually that's the kind of stuff that I do like to do. And because I've been trying to make my life more manageable, I actually cleaned my whole studio and my whole basement, and I'm spending my whole inheritance on IKEA totes. It's been
that's
very
awesome.
Exciting. everything's boxed up.
That actually sounds really exciting
to me. It really is, actually.
I love organizing.
Oh, you should come see. It's so, and it's funny because I take pictures. I take pictures and I'm like, look what I did. I cleaned. And then I look at the pictures and I'm like, that looks terrible. But to me, it looks like I have all this stuff. Because I have all these, you know, I have molds from when I first started making plaster molds for the clay, like back in 94, 95. So I've got like decades worth of these molds. So in my basement, I have a whole area of molds and then I have this whole area of fabric and I've got my paints and my batik stuff. And
it's like a retrospective of your life as an artist.
It is. And it keeps going around in circles.
Yeah.
You know, like all this stuff. Except for the paints. The acrylic paints
have
they don't percolate to the top of my pile of things.
They don't create your brain fizz.
My brain, I open the drawer and I put them all in a tote and I go, see you in 20 years.
Nothing's fizzing here.
Yeah, nothing's fizzing here.
I have a 10-year-old to take care of that now. No. Or no, she's 8, but still. But yeah, I just I give her like art supplies that I'm not using and they suddenly have meaning in life again and it's really fun.
Yeah, I've got pastels and colored chalks and you frickin' name it. I have it in my house. And
there's just something about having it, even if you don't use it. Like I have a whole like paint set and all these different pens and like just having it.
Yeah.
For some reason, I'm like, if I ever decide I want to do that, I can just go over there and get that stuff. Because I might wake up in the middle of the night and be like, I am going to make an acrylic painting.
Yeah.
And I know what it's going to be. And I don't have to go to Michael's. It's all in my living room. But that was 10 years ago. So now I got to go to Michael's because it's all dried up.
Although I did walk into the Fleur-de-Lis Gallery, what was it, a few days ago? And she was painting.
I was painting.
Pretty sure she was supposed to be doing something.
I was supposed to be doing my taxes. I will do anything. I will do anything.
The purple paint wore out, people.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tried to open the white and it couldn't. I even had this guy. He saw me struggling to open this little tiny jar. It's like an inch by inch jar and I'm like turning purple trying to open this thing and he's deaf and he like waves and makes this funny noise and I look up and he's like making the signal that he wants to help me and I was like sure and he's huge. He comes in there and he's like, I'm gonna open this jar, and he couldn't do it.
No. Sorry. How old was that jar?
It was probably like 5 or 6 years old.
Those testers paints, I don't think that they're intended to. They're so small, people. When they produce them, they're like, oh, this will be used up right away. No, not here, friends.
No, I bought that. I just opened it the other day because in an attempt to not do my taxes, I found this panel that I decided to put my favorite quote on, which is, beware of artists. They mix with all classes of society and are therefore the most dangerous. That's my favorite quote. That's Queen Victoria. Awesome. So I was painting that on a panel when you came in.
Yes. Yes, she was.
Jess, if I ever want something done, I'm going to bring your taxes down and set them on the right. And then I'm going to give you a task on the left.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't even need, it could just be like a bank statement. Yeah.
I'll just like just wave dangle. It in front of your face.
Yeah. Just, oh my gosh. Just hate that side of life.
I know.
Face all of my sins. I called my accountant and I was like, if I give you my taxes this year, do you promise to not judge me on how many bank fees I pay? It's like the bank's gonna have to like fire someone this year because I'm gonna be better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're not paying their payroll. Tammy, what are you working on?
What's your hustle?
Well, I've got, I mean, so the thing in March, which is at St. Olaf, the Rice County Gardeners Extension, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so that, I'm kind of excited about that because I think it gets me thinking about spring and gardening and what kinds of things do gardeners like. And I'm a gardener, so, you know, I kind of have thoughts about it. So I'm kind of excited about that. And then, of course, the Straight River Art Festival, which is coming up, which I'm hoping to actually not just administer in this year but to actually participate in again, which would be fun. And then I do a lot of stuff, administrative stuff, which is not as exciting but is stuff that has to get done. And so I kind of am doing all that kind of stuff. So the printmaking stuff, it's really like, that's the other thing about, so one of the things that the Straight River Arts .org does is that we administer the Healing Arts Gallery at the Faribault District 1 Hospital. And So Jessica had mentioned something about doing like prints and stuff for those, because I'm like totally jazzed about doing the prints, which is part of the reason that now I feel like I have to buy bigger print blocks and start doing that stuff. But that actually, if I had kind of a stretch goal, that would be my stretch goal.
Because I love it.
I think that would be really fun. And I'd like to potentially add that to my repertoire.
I love that.
Of art. Yeah. Plus the print blocks. The nice thing about the print blocks is that you could produce like a lot of them.
Right.
You in carve a shorter one, period of yeah. time without like the amount of pain.
Mm-hmm.
Like physically the amount of pain that I experience when I do like a lot of the clay stuff, that stuff kind of tends to just because of the motion and the way that I'm using my hands.
Mm-hmm.
So the print block, it's just, you can do it a little bit differently. And, it's really fun. But then I go on Instagram and I look at all these people who are really, really good at it.
You
and
should
I,
never compare yourself to Instagram.
I
know,
and I
Instagram.
Start feeling bad about myself again. And then I go and watch 48 Hours.
Instagram isn't real. No. 48 Hours is real. We don't want you on that show either.
Yeah. I make my, you know, my Alexa or whatever play me all the murder podcasts. Mm-hmm. And then I feel better about my life.
Because you're still alive.
I have not yet been murdered.
Or have you have not yet murdered...
I have fallen down a rabbit hole on YouTube of interrogation videos.
Oh,
have
you ever I do watched love those. Yes.
Ooh,
those are
those
dark.
Those make me too.
Those are dark.
No, it's too much. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on what it is, but I've seen some pretty...
They're yeah. dark. Yeah.
Yeah. I would have made a wonderful, like, homicide detective.
I think you might have.
I think yeah. for sure.
I feel like it's too late now.
You could be... Yeah, you'd be really good at, like, just cold knocking on someone's door, being like, excuse me.
Have you murdered anyone?
What did you have for dinner last night?
That's my
I don't
stretch
know.
Goal.
That's a clue.
Oh, my goodness. So.
Our next episode.
On our next episode.
You hopefully tune into. Mm-hmm. We haven't lost you after the second episode. Hopefully you heard our first one. If you haven't heard our first one, you can go to the KYMN website. And look up The Naked Artist, and we will be keeping all of our shows on there as well. So
yeah.
mm-hmm. Get to know us. Next one, trust the process.
Mm-hmm. And then I added a question mark.
Which is very appropriate.
Do we trust the process?
Should we?
And we will talk about all of that. I have strong feelings about trusting the process.
I love it. Can't wait.
So join us again.
Yep. Thank you for listening, everyone. We hope you enjoy our second session. I don't know.
We're not famous yet, but it's going to happen. And you can help by telling everybody you heard this amazing show.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.